First John chapter number 4. You will stand for reverence to the Word of God. Ain't God good this morning, church? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does someone need to brag on him right quick? I don't know. I just feel a little nudge there. Somebody needs to brag on him this morning. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Amen, sis. Hallelujah. Anyone else? You need to brag on the Lord this morning.
I thank you, brother, for me, for my salvation. It took me, what, 6 years? It took me 6 years since I was over in Nashville. But for His grace and love and mercy and His healing, you know, I'd have been in the ground a long time ago.
Yeah.
The doctor warned me about it, God loved it. She wasn't here too, she prayed. And in a few short months, I walked out of the wall.
Amen.
With a walker, but nevertheless, I walked.
Amen.
And I can never thank you enough for praising Him.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else need to just bless the Lord this morning? Praise Him. First John chapter number 4, verse number 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before You this morning, we do thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercies to us. Thank You, Lord, for this good congregation of people that's here this morning. Lord, there's an awesome responsibility laying upon me to preach to this crowd this morning. Lord, I know quite well that, God, that I can't do nothing without You. I ask You this morning to help me to preach above my ability. Give me that liberty and that unction, that anointing from heaven's world this morning to preach to God. Lord, touch me physically, touch me mentally, touch me emotionally, touch me spiritually most of all to God. Give me that holy boldness to say what I should say. And Lord, give me enough sense to keep my mouth shut about what I shouldn't say today. I pray to God that You'd please take Your word and break it and pass it out and give to those that are in need to God this morning. I pray Holy Ghost conviction come down upon this service this morning, upon sinners to be saved, upon saints to pull in closer to You this morning. I pray to God bless this crowd today to God and help them, O Lord. I ask You to God to do what I can't do this morning. Lord, I pray do it through me to God, if You will to God. Help me this morning, I pray. Then, Lord, thank You for the good singing and the good testimonies this morning, the good fellowship among the people, the good harmony. I pray keep it and protect us, O God, for we do love You with all our heart, and we love You with all our soul, and we love You with all our mind. In Jesus' sweet, loving, holy name we pray. Thy precious holy will be done, Lord. Amen and amen. And you may be seated this morning. If God will be my help for just a little while, while. I'd like to preach on the depths and the heights of the Lord's love toward mankind this morning. Amen. The love of God can only be understood and appreciated in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I hear a lot of talk about love in the day and hour we're living, but they're leaving Jesus out of it, and it ain't real love. Amen. I want to say what God has done in Jesus, what God has done through Jesus, ultimately reveals all about His love toward us. Amen. To reject Christ is to reject the love of God toward us. Amen. This morning, may I say it's through Christ that God manifests His love toward mankind. Now let's attempt for a little bit the impossible, to try to measure the height and the depth of the love of God toward us. Now I know I'm not much and I can't describe it fully, but I'd like to crack open the door and let you look at it just a little bit this morning. Amen. I want to look at the depths of God's love. God's love has been manifested in what He has done for us and what He has done in us. And my friend, through Jesus Christ, hallelujah, that He's done it all. Amen. May I say this morning, if we are to measure the depth of God's love, we must look at ourselves this morning. Did you hear what I said? If we're to measure the depths of God's love, we got to look at self this morning. And I'm talking about a reality check. I'm talking about a truthful look at ourselves. I say this morning, if we're to measure the depths of God's love, we got to look at ourselves. We'll never know the love of God until we know who and what we are today. I'm not talking about pat yourself on the back and say I'm a pretty good person. Oh no, you won't never know the love of God as long as you're doing that. But I say this morning, if we're to fully appreciate the love of God, we will not until we understand the startling truth about ourselves, apart from Him, and apart from His grace, and apart from His love, and His mercy, how wicked and low down and good and for nothing we are. You say, well, preacher, I'd rather go to a church and preach on self-esteem. That's why you got so many liberals and unbelievers who are religious but on their way to hell this morning. We ain't got nothing to be self-esteemed in. If there's anything good in us, it's God. Hallelujah, this morning. It ain't us. I say this morning, God loved us because... Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think God loved us because we was lovable? Now, you think about that a minute. You think God loved us because we was lovable? It's a little red-headed. She had to go get some more sauce. She's got a pretty good crowd this morning, but she'll be back in a little bit. Hey, listen to me. You think I fell in love with her because she was mean and hated me? No, it's because she loved me, showed kindness toward me, and I fell in love with her. But God, on the other hand, hey, listen to me. God, on the other hand, loved us, and while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Amen, this morning. Well, I mean, when we was a cussing God, when we was a breaking of the law that He had, and we hated God, He loved us! Hallelujah, this morning. Thank God. He loved us. You think He loved us because we're so kind and such a kind and wonderful people? Why, no. I know there's a crazy teaching going around that every man has goodness within them. Without God, there ain't no goodness within us. I say to you, thank God loves us because we're righteous and honest and clean living people. No, if you do, you better trash that. You think God loved us because we're good to others and good to Him? If you do, you better trash that. Someone said one time, if you believe that, you're crippled too high for crutches. Amen. I say this morning, my friend, today, listen to me. Hey, God loved us. Isn't that why we were wicked, God cussing, God hating, vile sinners? That's the truth of God's Word. I worked a funeral yesterday. Most of y'all know that I worked part-time at the funeral home. And we were prepared for a fight, to be honest with you. They were from... Not from this state. They weren't from this part of the country. Don't reckon if they had any influence whatsoever, it was Catholic. And there wasn't much of that. But the dad come in, and I felt sorry. I really did. I felt sorry for him. He's 82 years old. He's on oxygen. He's a crying. They were going to cremate his son, and he didn't want that, and I don't like that neither, amen. Just to be honest with you, I'm not for that. I don't think that's a Christian way of doing things. That was a heathen way of doing things, to burn the body. But anyhow, he was all tore up about that, and buddy, he could have joined the Navy. You never heard such language in your life, is he using? Calling his own family, and it was getting pretty rough. He said, y'all might have to call the sheriff's department here today. Said, I don't want to make a scene, but I don't like what's going on. Boy, I said, I listened to that a little bit. And his wife growling at him and carrying on and a little bit. And I didn't know I was there alone. The other workers were gone in other places. They got there a little early. And all I know to do, maybe pray. And I said, you folks care if I pray right quick? And I just got down on my knees and prayed. Nothing to me, but God calmed them down a little bit. And there wasn't no fight. And I didn't hear no more cussing after that. But I just thank God for that. But I said all that to say this. I'm glad I know something about my God this morning. And then when they started their service, they had some woman to get up and she read the 23rd Psalm. And that's the only thing close to God she got, just reading them verses. And then she went to telling her version, I believe he's up there in heaven working on trucks today. I believe he's up there riding his Harley up and down the street to go. You never heard such crazy junk in your life. And boy, she's telling them people like that was the truth, Brother Dan. Deceived. I said, that ain't the God and that ain't the heaven I read about in the Bible. You see, if you base your salvation in God and heaven on something besides that word, you're sadly mistaken. But you wouldn't believe the people who's are doing that today. You wouldn't believe what's going on. You better get back to the Word. Amen. I like a tag I seen the other day on somebody's vehicle. It said, if all else fails, read the instruction. It had a picture of the Bible there on it. Amen. I like it. Amen. Oh, I'm bad. And you women know us men are awful bad to tear into a box and try to put it together. Then we get stumped. We look at the instructions. And then wonder why we got so many parts left on when we get through. You see, that's just the way man is. Trying to do it on his own without reading the instruction. I want to say this morning, my friend, right here's the instruction for life. Every avenue you need to go to, it's right here. Hallelujah. It'll tell you what's wrong with you. It'll tell you where you came from. It'll tell you how to get it fixed and where you're going when you do get it fixed and where you're going if you don't get it fixed. Amen. Tell you all about yourself right here. Amen. This morning. I want to say this morning, God didn't love us because we was lovable. He didn't love us because we was honest. He didn't love us because we was kind one to another. He didn't love us because we put money in the offering plate at church. He didn't love us because we memorized Bible verses. He didn't love us because we didn't cuss, because we didn't steal. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Amen this morning. I say this morning, God has loved us because God has not loved us because we're lovable. Bible said in 1 John 4:9 in our text here, said God sent His only begotten Son in the world that we might live through Him. Amen. I said earlier, it looks to me that He loved us more than He loved Jesus because of what He put Jesus through so we wouldn't have to go through it. Think about that this morning. According to this verse, apart from Him, we're dead. Amen. That's a fundamental statement about man as a result of sin. And it runs all the way through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. That we're dead and lost without God. Oh, as a result of sin. Bible said in Ephesians 2:1, and you have He quickened. In other words, made alive. My friend today, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. I was dead in sin. I was raised in a preaching daddy and a praying mama's home. I never knew my daddy to drink and carry on. All I've ever known out of them is preaching. I never knew them lost. I was too little when they got saved to remember all that. And thank God for it. But you know what? I had to get saved on my own. I couldn't get in on daddy's preaching and I couldn't get in on mama's praying. Although that helped me, amen. Thank God. I say today, I had to come to the Lord myself. Amen. Oh yes, dead in sin. But thank God, that one night up there in the basement of the old Rosman High School gym in the locker boys' locker room. Hallelujah, the light of heaven came out of heaven and came down in my dark soul. And I got saved. Hallelujah today. Thank God, the light come in. He quickened me. He made me alive. All of us apart from Jesus Christ are in a state of spiritual death. Hey, we not only lack a knowledge of God, we lack understanding of spiritual things. And the great faculty, a great spiritual faculty of our of mankind died back in the Garden of Eden. What do you mean, preacher? A faculty, my friend, is a power of the mind which enables us to receive and revive perceptions. Amen. Sort of an illustration. Think about your hearing. Think about your talking, your tasting. Think about your seeing and your touching. That's faculties that God gives us. Well, one of our faculties died spiritually back in the Garden of Eden. We couldn't know God. We couldn't know spiritual things. Thank God today. But I want to say this. We're dead to God and to His spiritual qualities. Amen. Living according to the course of this life and of this age. And we're just in an existent state, but death. Amen. Without God. Christ came that we might live through Him. And without Him, we are dead. Dead. Not just sick, but dead. We're not just spiritually sick. We're spiritually dead without Christ this morning. Men and women by nature are against God. You say, well, I wasn't against God. I didn't hate God. Well, you're saying the Bible's a lie, man, if you say that. I mean, He said, herein is love, not that we love God. We didn't love God. He loved us. Amen. Hey. It is not the case that we are in our natural state love God and He responded to our love. Oh no, the picture in the Bible is not of people that's ever seeking for God because they love Him. Oh no, that's pauper, but it ain't right. People want to think, well, every man's got something good in him. I want to say today, oh no, we don't. Bible said in Romans 8:7, because of the carnal mind is enmity. In other words, it's enemy, it's hatred toward God. It said against God is what the scripture said. It said the carnal mind is against God. Romans 5:8 said, listen to me, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, while we were aliens, my friend, while we were strangers and sinners against God, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. Died in our place. Hallelujah this morning. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. If He wouldn't have resurrected, we'd be all me and most miserable without Christ. But thank God He didn't just die, He came alive for us. Amen. Hallelujah this morning. Oh, thank God. I bless His holy name this morning. Because of all that man by nature is under the wrath of God, he deserves the punishment of God for his sin. Amen. I say today, we were dead and hating God, far from loving Him, really opposed to Him. That was our true state. Men and women are down in the depths of sin, deserving nothing but wrath until we see the simple truth about us. We'll never know anything about the love of God. That's the first step in measuring the depth of God's love, is knowing what we are, what we were, if we're saved by the grace of God this morning. Sinner friend, you're here this morning lost without God. You need to realize you're headed to hell without Christ, and you're really living in opposition to Him. I've said it many be the time, and I've used this for an illustration around here. Ain't it amazing that you can sleep the best on Sunday morning and that bed feels the best on Sunday morning than it does any other time of the week? Ain't it amazing come Wednesday night you're the tiredest on Wednesday evening and that easy chair feels the best on Wednesday evening than it does any other time of the week? You know why? Because your flesh is enmity with God. It sure is. Why, next Sunday, if it's a giving out $1,000 to each person that come in, well, you'd be in line out there at 7 o'clock in the morning. It'd be hard to get here by 11, ain't it? You know why? The flesh ain't against money, it's against God. Amen? Amen? Ain't it amazing that we wake up some morning not feeling good, but if it's giving $1,000 away, we'd drag ourselves down to get that $1,000, but we'd say, well, I just don't feel good enough to go to church today. Ain't it amazing? You know why? Flesh enmity against God. Oh, if I don't tell you something, amen. That don't tell you something. Ain't nothing going to tell you nothing. Amen. But I say this morning, thank God. Hey, you can't understand the depth of God's love till you understand how wicked we are against God and how our flesh is. And your flesh is still wicked. So's mine. But that soul inside is spotless. Amen. Thank God. Now, don't give you no excuse to go out here and live wrong. Don't give you no excuse to go out here and compromise and do all kind of wickedness, amen, that this world's a doing. That's what's wrong today. People ain't a seeing what they was, and they living just any old way. I want to say today, when God gets in you, you'll change. You'll change the way you talk. You'll change the way you drink. You'll change the way you talk to people. You'll change the way you deal with people. You'll change the way you dress, my friend, today, if you get right with God. He'll change some things. Because if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things become new. Oh. But I say this morning, because, my friend, until we see this simple truth, we'll never know anything about the depth of God's love. But now I want to look at the height of God's love for a moment. The height. You see, we've seen man now in the depth of God's love. Let's look now at God and see what He's done. 1 John 4:9 said, "And this was manifested," in other words, made known, the love of God toward us. "Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." This is the central message of the whole Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. He uses this word, "only begotten Son." You notice in the Scripture, He don't say begotten when He's talking about us, His children. He only talks about Jesus using the word begotten. The word begotten is interesting. It means a person that has a unique kinship to God. Only begotten. The only one of them, and that's Christ. Amen. He is the eternal Son of God. He is co-eternal with God. He is co-equal with God. Amen. He has an eternal relationship with God. Jesus alone, listen to me, Jesus alone can reproduce the nature and character of God as a man. Only Jesus could do that. As holy as you want to live, and we need to live holier every day. We need to pull in closer and do what God says to do in His Word, not use for an excuse, "I can't do it." Maybe you can't do it as good as Jesus did, but you ought to try to do it as good as you can. Amen. Hallelujah today. Thank God. Do what? Try to live righteous as you can according to the Word of God. Try to live as clean as you can. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. We must try to live holy before the Lord. We may not be able to live as holy as He did, but there ain't no excuse not to try. Amen. I guess this is a carnal, cruel illustration. Brother Brad, I got a picture on my phone of some big old deer some friends of mine killed this year. Sister Jean Morgan's son's one of them. I'm talking about a buck with horns that wide. Looked like it's 2.5-3 foot wide. I don't know. It wasn't from around here. And then Brother Jeremy Yokley killed a big old 16-point, looked like elk horns on a white-tailed deer. And them boys done a good job, and they're good at it. But you know what? I'm looking forward to go back. I ain't that good. And I know I probably won't ever kill nothing that good, but I still enjoy it. And I said all that to say this. We may not be as holy as Christ, but we need to try to. And we ought to strive to want to get back at it. Try to live as close to the Lord as we can according to the Word of God. You might not be able to do it as good as somebody else, but you can do all you can for Him. Amen, today. We don't need to be lazy for the Lord. We need to have a zeal about us and living for Him. Amen. Thank God this morning. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah this morning. The heights of His love is Him. Amen. Only begotten Son of God. He alone completely reproduces the nature and character of God. The only child, especially, this only begotten means only child, especially dear to the parent, especially beloved, exalted above all humans and angels. That's why He said, "Only begotten Son." Amen. Hallelujah this morning. Only begotten. Now, I know we'll carry some of the characters of our parents. I'm all time, people have come up to me, they find out I'm best Galway's son. So you look just like him. I said, "Yeah, Dad's got more hair and less belly, though. We look a little bit alike, but there's some differences." People come up to me, and They'll talk about my grandchildren. They'll say, this one looks like you, and this one looks like you. Yeah, but there's differences. Me and Dad's got differences. We got different characters. We may favor a little bit, but we got different characters. Amen. You see? Oh, we should favor the Lord. But we ought to act like Him too. Amen. Thank God. We ought to act like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank God for the height of His love. And that's Him, amen, this morning. The depth is us, but the height is Him. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. You see, if Jesus Christ was someone who had to be sent into the world, He must have existed before this world. Think about that. His beginning wasn't in that old stable over there in Bethlehem. His beginning wasn't when He was laid in that manger, that feeding trough where the animals eat in those swaddling clothes. Oh no. None of us has been sent into this world. We was born into this world. Jesus was sent into this world. Jesus was sent somewhere else, amen, from somewhere else. He existed before in eternity, my friend today. Think of your own love towards your own children this morning, you that are parents. Think of your own love towards your children. Multiply that by infinity. You know what infinity means? It means limitless. Ain't no. In other words, multiply that by numbers you can't even think of. It's out there. Infinity is limitless. It's boundless. Multiply your love for your children. If you could multiply it, that wouldn't even touch what the Lord Heavenly Father loved His Son with. The love like it. I say this morning, my friend, it won't even start to know His love toward His only begotten Son. And as I said earlier, and I ain't saying that He loved us more than He loved Jesus, but it sure looks like it, what He done with us and what He's done for Jesus and what He done with Jesus in sending to die in our place. It looks like it. It favors it. I say this morning, if you're uncertain about the love of Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't have any love of God in you this morning. I don't care what you say. I don't care how many times you've been baptized, how many churches you've joined, amen. My Bible tells me in Colossians 2 and 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And Jesus is all God. He gave Himself. You say, explain that Trinity, preacher. I can't, but I believe it, and that settles it all right. Whether I believe it or not, it's still settled. I can't explain to you why there's a wire that comes out there off of a wire and comes to this church, runs through a bunch of breakers and runs through wire, and you can flip a switch back there and lights come on in here. I can't explain all that. I know it, but I believe it, don't you? I can't explain that I go out there in the car and turn a button on and I can hear people singing in the dash and look in there and ain't a soul in there. I can hear people talking in the doors of that car and ain't a soul in them doors. But I believe it. Don't you? Amen. Thank God today. Hallelujah. Understanding the person of Christ is absolutely essential. It's absolutely essential in understanding the love of God. Understanding our wickedness before God is essential to knowing the love of God. Without those two elements, you can't know the love of God. Well, we've looked at the depth of God's love, and that being us and our sin state. We've looked at the height of God's love, and that's being Him coming to earth that we may live. Let's look for a moment at what the height done for the depth. Amen. God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. I want you to think for a moment and imagine for a moment at the world in which He came to. At the world in which He came to. And it's worse now than it was then, but He done it for us. And He done it for such a time as this. He came to a world that had no room for Him. Was no room. His mother, in the shape she was in, about to give birth, couldn't even get in a room in the inn, and was sent down to an old stable. Had to have that child out there in that cold and that unclean stable where animals was at. Wrapped little Jesus up and laid Him in that feeding trough. I'm glad that He did. Hallelujah.
I get hungry spiritually at times. Thank God. I don't know about you, but I hunger spiritually at times. And I'm glad the bread of life was laid to feed from so that I could eat upon Him. Hallelujah. Think about the world that He came to. And He grew up. I don't know how much He worked in the carpenter shop, but I'm sure Joseph showed Him some things. And of course, I guarantee there wasn't no flaw in Jesus' woodwork. You think about it. He made the seed that growed the tree. Hallelujah. He made the metal or the rock or whatever that cut the tree down with an axe or saw, whatever the case may be. He done it all. He can put it together flawlessly. Amen. Flawlessly. Thank God. But think of the world that He came to. He's born in poverty. Bible said, hey, listen to me. He was homeless. When He grew up, He was homeless. You think about this. Bible said the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But I don't have anywhere to put my head at. That's what He said. He is homeless. I said the other day in Mama's funeral that the night before we went to Burger King up here, get us a little something to eat, and it was snowing ice on the road. Me and the wife's out doing something. I don't remember what we was doing. We went by to get us a hamburger. And I noticed the place is about empty, and I ordered, and we went and sat down. Well, I went back up to get my food or something or another, and this fella come in, and he's red-handed, red-faced, and didn't have a whole lot of clothes on. Young fella looked like, Tanner, he looked to be about your age. And he was talking to the lady behind the counter, and of course, y'all know I'm deaf in this ear, and he was standing here, and I couldn't make out what was going on. And I seen him talking. Then I turned a little bit so I could hear a bit, and she said, well, won't you go back there in the bathroom and wash your hands in warm water to get them warm? And when he did, I said, man, what was he saying? She said, he's homeless and he's cold and hungry. And she said, we've already closed. I was the last customer we were serving that night. I said, we done cleaned the drawer out. There's no more food to be put out. And I don't never give out money to folk like that. But if they're hungry, I'll go buy them a meal and give it to them. Because most of the time, folk, when you give them money, they're going to go buy alcohol or drugs or something with it. And I don't want to do that. I'm not incompassionate. I just careful. I mean, you've got to be smart about that. Try to be wise about that stuff. When I seen him come back out and go back to the counter, and then I seen him turn. He was really trying to get him to give him some food. He said, I ain't got no money. I talked to her about that. And I said, son, come here a minute. Me and my wife sitting there eating. And I talked to him a minute, and he was very respectful. Matter of fact, when I gave him some money, he said, no, I can't take that. I invited him here to church, and I hope they'll come sometime. I don't know. I can't even, not now, remember what his name was. Joseph Smith or somebody like that. I can't remember. But anyhow, I said, here's $10, son. I said, I normally don't do this. I said, now, are you going to buy food with this? He said, yes, sir. I said, you walk right across the road over to Ingles, and they got a deli in there, and you go get you a good meal tonight. And I sat there and finished eating my food. And he did. He went that way. Seen him later come back across the road with a bag. I hope it was that he got food. I don't know. And I got to thinking a lot about that feller. And I had a pair of gloves there in my truck that was given to me some time ago. And I couldn't even wear them. They're too little. And I said, I'll give them to him. That'll help his hands a little bit. And I was trying to figure out how to help that fella. And I went up to where they're supposed to have a homeless shelter and talked to him. But, you know, if you're homeless tonight, you can't get in there for several days. They won't let you just go in and get warm. And I really felt for the fella, and I called the police and talked to them about it and everything. Hadn't seen him since. But I thought about that situation. Of course, I also know some of these people there because they want to be there. You say, why is that, preacher? Well, I believe I'd have tried to find me a snow shovel and went door to door, knocking on the door and said, I'll shovel your driveway out if you give me $5. And he could have made a little money. And I understand that. But and I'm not throwing off on him, but he is a young man. And I said all that, and I thought a lot about that. No place to go. No place to call home. Out in the cold, 9 degrees that night. Nothing to eat. And I felt for him. Whether it's he's at fault or not at fault, I don't know. But then I thought about my Lord. No place to lay his head. But yet he was upon the earth that he made, that he spoke in existence. Bible said all things was made through Jesus. Amen. Tells us that, teaches us that in his word. And here, the creator of the universe, well, he's provided the foxes a hole to live in. He's provided the birds a nest to live in. But he ain't got nowhere to lay his head. The great God of heaven loved us, oh, stinking, rotten, low-down, God-cursing, God-hating sinners, so much that he sent his darling, beloved son to live in a world without anything. Well, that's love, ain't it? That's a love. Someone said you measure love by the great gifts that you give. And he gave himself. He gave his only begotten son. The sacrifices that are made. Think about the sacrifice he was made. I don't know that I could do that with my children. I don't know that I could do it. Matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and say I wouldn't do that with my children. I wouldn't do that. I got to hold hold all my grandbabies last night. I got to be with them, got to eat with them. And two little old babies just 3 months apart. Boy, I just have a time with them playing with them. And they ain't got a care in the world. They can't do nothing for themselves. But what about sending that little baby to a world that hated them? What about sending that baby to a world that had no place to live? What about sending that baby to a world that don't care for them and is going to spit on them and is going to hit them, is going to drive nails through their hands and feet? What about sending that baby to die in a world like that he loved so much that he went to? I couldn't do it. But I'm glad my Heavenly Father could do it. Because I'll never feel the flames of hell. I've been in some hot fires as a fireman crawling around in the floor. I've seen the carpet turn to liquid. It'd be so hot in the house. Crawling around in the floor in a house fire. But I'll never know what it is to feel the flames of hell. Pop, thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your preaching. Thank you for your praying, Mom. Hallelujah. That God got a hold of me. Hallelujah. Thank God this morning. I'm saved this morning by the blood of Jesus. Because of the great heights of His love and because of the great depths that He loved, He come down to where I was at. Somebody said, how much do you love me, Lord? Said He stretched out His arms and died in our place. I love you. You know, them little old children say, how much do you love me? They'll go, this much? Sister Roxy, she's got me saying this to her, but she tells me every time I talk to her. She said, preacher, I love you to the sky and back. I said, Sister Roxy, I love you to the sky and back. But you know what? I've got one that's way beyond the sky that loves me all the way there and back. Hallelujah this morning. Way beyond the sunset. Way beyond the moon. Way beyond the planets. Way beyond the stars. There's one that loves us a lot more than that. Hallelujah this morning. Bless His holy name. Look what He's done for us. Amen. Came into a world that's selfish and self-centered. Every man for himself, my friend. He left the glory of heaven to live in poverty. He came from no sin, from a pure, clean place to a place where sin abound. He who knew no sin was made sin so that you and I could go free and not have to go to hell. Watch Him in His ministry as He preaches His pure doctrine. Watch as they oppose Him and spit upon Him and curse Him and tear Him down. Watch Him as His friends and His disciples desert Him, turn their back upon Him. Watch Him as they take that crown of thorns and pull it down over His head. Watch Him as they lay Him down and nailing them nails through His hands and through His feet. And before they got there, they took that old cat of nine's tail. Had that bone and rock and stuff on there. And hit that back and jerk it and jerk the hide off of her. They say after so many lashes with that, you could actually see the organs functioning in the body. Then they lay him on that old splintered cross. And then he's hanging there, and when they drop him, thug, his body more than likely came out of joint. Hanging there. Went through all that for you and I. How can we not love someone like that? How can you not love someone like that? Amen. You might not be paying him any attention. Thank God. I said earlier, that little red-headed girl, I didn't pay her a whole lot of attention, but she had her eye on me, and she was kind to me, and I fell in love with her. It took a while, and she'll tell you this, but I fell in love with her. Amen. You know, I didn't get saved the first time I knew of the Lord, but He is so kind to me. Do you not know the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, the Scripture says? Amen. He's so good to me. I fell in love with Him one day. And it ain't been the same since. Hallelujah. And I ain't looked for another since I fell in love with Him. Hallelujah, this morning. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He was sent to be propitiation for our sins. He was sent into this world to be the sin offering for us. That means a way that sin can be done away with. He is the only way to do away with sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him, that's Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might have the righteousness of God in Him. Not only was Jesus the priest, not only was Jesus the offering, He is the sacrifice, hallelujah. And it was all Him. He sent into this world in order that God might punish our sins in on Him and in Him and through Him. He made His only begotten Son the sacrifice for lost humanity. And I thought about this a little bit. Not only did He turn that day and say, and the Father turned and wouldn't look upon the Son. And the Son cries out for the first time in loneliness, "My God! My God! Why hast Thou forsaken me?" Can you imagine the first time in all eternity past, the first time in all eternity future, that He was all alone without the Father? Dad, I know there's coming a day one day, and I don't know which one of us is going first. Mom, I know there's coming a day one day, and I don't know which one is going first. I'm working at the funeral home, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say those thoughts don't come through me that one day, if nature takes its course, one day I'll be sitting on one of them first two pews and not sitting in the back heaven. And I dread that day. But I know You ain't forsaken me and I ain't forsaken y'all. And what about being forsaken? You see, the Father knew this all the way back eternity past. He knew He's going to have to do this. It didn't start back in Genesis. And every time that they took a bullock or a ram or a turtle dove and sacrificed it, most likely it came up in Him, "One day that's going to be my son. One day that's going to be my son." Think about it this morning, church. He loves you, sinners. He loves you. He wants to birth you into His family. And He sent His best. He couldn't do no more. He couldn't send anything any better than Jesus Christ, His Son. Oh, look what the height has done for the depth of His love. Herein was manifested the love of God, that God sent His only begotten Son to be made sin for us who knew no sin. He was the innocent, we are the guilty. The substitutionary offering for our sins. It involved a separation from the Father. "My God, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" May I remind you, it didn't stop right there. Thank God. He showed the sacrifice was enough. The law was satisfied. Everything's complete. May I remind you, you don't know nothing of the love of God until you see that Christ, that if He had not suffered and died on the cross and rose from the dead, He could not have forgiven man of sin. That was the only way that he could forgive man of sin, is to give his best. Without the atonement, all through the Old Testament we find the word atonement, but you don't find it but one time in the New Testament, because it was just like it says, at one meant. It was only to be done one time, and that was Jesus. I really am happy that we don't have to give lambs and turtle doves. I love to hunt, but I got a soft heart when it comes to killing animals. I'll just be honest with you, I do. And I'm not one of these tree-hugging, dirt-worshipping animal rights people. But I'm saying, I do have a soft heart when it comes to that. And I'd hate to have to go take that lamb. I'd hate to go take a bullock and have to slay it for my sins. I'm glad the Lord done that for us. Hallelujah this morning. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's the last time you'll find blood and forgiveness together in the Bible, in Colossians. Brother Dan, you and Clara, come on up. Get that old song, Why Not Tonight, if you will. In Christ, and by His work, we are reconciled. We are forgiven. We're justified. We're pardoned. We're restored. We're adopted. We're born into the family of God. That we, as verse 9 says in our text, that we might live through Him. We live in Him. He lives in us. And we live through Him. In the person of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah today. Thank God. I'm glad He comes seeking. Old sinners, as they sung in the opening psalm this morning. I'm glad He comes seeking, old sinners. Because we sure wasn't seeking Him. Hallelujah this morning. Everybody stand, if you will.
In the church hymnal, 370.
This altar's open. Don't turn Him away. If the Holy Ghost is speaking your heart this morning, there ain't a better day to get saved than today if He's speaking your heart. Won't you come this morning? Why not today, church? Why not at Center Friend? Oh.